The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Scripture reading is taken this morning from Proverbs 13. We will read the second half of the chapter. Proverbs 13, we read verses 13 through 25. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfaction of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Thus far we read the inspired sacred scripture this morning. The text for the sermon is Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the subject of the sermon this morning is spanking. Or to put it more formally, corporal, that is bodily, covenantal, parental discipline. I trust that every child here, every young child knows what a spanking is because you have been spanked. There's only one child who never needed to be spanked, and that was Jesus of Nazareth in the home of Joseph and Mary. No boy or girl here this morning is Jesus, and therefore when you are young, you will need to be spanked. And if your parents love you, they will spank you. If you have never been spanked, it is not because you are never naughty and do not need a spanking. It is because your parents do not love you. That's what God says. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. If you have never been spanked because your parents do not love you, then you will need to grow up and embrace more and more the truth of Psalm 27, verse 10. When my father and mother forsake me and forsake me by not disciplining me, then the Lord will take me up. It is really very sad that so few children are disciplined. Not only is the sparing of the rod foolishness because God requires the use of the rod, but it is self-destructive. One of the ways in which a society destroys itself, and there are many ways, is by not administering corporal discipline according to the command of God. And then children ordinarily grow up to be rebellious, defiant tyrants and fill the world with wickedness. But even worse than parental neglect of the rod is the wicked philosophy of the world, which is sadly adopted by too many professing Christians, which teaches that spanking is barbaric child abuse. That will result in long-term emotional trauma and behavioral disorders in children, and that parents who do spank their children ought to be punished by the state and maybe even have their children removed from the home. Spanking can easily become child abuse, but spanking as such is not child abuse. It is God's commanded means for driving rebellion from naturally foolish children. It will be good for us this morning to remember our own parental baptism vows on the occasion of baptism, and to remember that in the covenant home where parents love and fear the Lord God and desire to walk in His commandments, they spank their children. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible, which is to say God, does not embarrassingly whisper a few suggestions about spanking, but unashamedly and authoritatively declares the necessity, the use, the motive, and the benefits of the rod of corporal, covenantal, parental discipline. Listen to the Lord God. Proverbs 10, verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him, strikest him, smitest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. This morning, God says, Proverbs 13, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Let's consider that passage this morning under the theme, loving a child with the rod. 3 points to consider. First of all, the rod identified. Second, the love demonstrated. And third, the wisdom required. In that first point, we will describe the rod and the use of the rod. In the second point, we will go into the heart and look at the love, which is demonstrated by the use of the rod. And then in the third point, we will consider wisdom, not by looking at all of the little details involved in disciplining children. That will be found in the first point when we look at the rod. But wisdom, we will look up at the Lord our God. Wisdom is to see God and how God deals with His children. And there we see the perfect pattern for ourselves. So first of all, the rod identified, then the love demonstrated, and finally the wisdom required. Let's begin with the rod identified. The rod is the Father's instrument for the diligent correcting of His covenant child. Now, let's break down that definition and explain all of its elements for the rest of this, the first point. First, the rod is an instrument. The word rod is not used metaphorically, but it is used literally to refer to a handheld instrument for the inflicting of a measure of pain upon a child. The word rod is the same word used for a shepherd's rod in Psalm 23, which refers to a wooden club or stick caught from a tree branch for the driving away of predators. Here, the rod is some suitable instrument for discipline. Let's say a paddle that widely distributes the force over the region to which it is applied. The rod is most definitely not a whip. It is not a leather scourge. It is not a belt. Proverbs 26 verse 3 makes a clear distinction between a whip and a rod. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. You may whip a horse. Don't you dare whip a child. The hand may be used. God has a rod, and you read the Old Testament. We sang the Psalms. He uses His rod. But God also uses His hand of providence to discipline us, His child. The hand may be used. But the text here speaks of a rod, which is some suitable instrument to be taken in the hand for the administering of one or a few well-placed licks that hurt and leave an impression upon the mind. God created the child with a suitable region on his body for the reception of the rod. The proverb says that the rod is for the fool's back. And there is a specially divinely designed region on the child's back, the child's backside, for the rod. It is that region of his body that can sustain a paddle swat without damaging bones or causing long-term injury, a part that when smacked will sting, though the sting will soon go away. And it doesn't take much common sense to understand that this is the child's bottom, his seat, his rear end, the bottom found beneath the padding of the diaper and or clothing. The rod or the hand is not for striking the whole body. It is certainly not for striking the face. Proverbs says repeatedly, it is for striking the fool's back. That is, here, with regard to a child, his backside, his bottom. Every Christian home has a rod, an instrument for the disciplining of children. Secondly, the rod is the father's instrument. The text says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. One might wonder why the father is singled out and there's not reference to both father and mother, they, or even reference to mother, she, since she's the one who spends most of the time in the home nurturing the children and will have to deal with their naughtiness most of the time throughout the course of the day. God singles out the father because in the Christian, in the Israelite home, the husband and father is the God-appointed head of the home, so that the rod very really is his rod. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Though the wife may withhold some discipline until the father returns from the field, until the father gets home from work, she may discipline. She must discipline. But she disciplines on behalf of her husband, to whom she is united in a one-flesh marital union, so that through her disciplining, through her use of the rod, the father himself is disciplining his child. He is responsible and he is answerable to God for the discipline in his home. God doesn't need to address the woman in the text because when God addresses the father, he is addressing the mother. Practically then, how important it is that husband and wife, father and mother, be united in their marriage, so that they may be reunited in all realms of the home life, including discipline.
and how important it is that the youth who desire to be married seek one with whom they are one in the Lord. How will they otherwise have a unified approach to anything in their home, including discipline? Sometimes some youth can be foolish. They lack the foresight. They don't understand everything that will be involved in home life and the necessity of being united in the Lord. For when marriage comes and two are not united in the Lord, then the devil can use naughty children to bring father and mother to arguments, to disagreements, and to enmity that can't be resolved because they are not one in the Lord. May God make us in our homes one in all things and in discipline. Because the rod is the Father's rod, discipline issues must be brought to the Father. In the Christian school, parents hire teachers who serve as their servants to do their will in the school, and that through the oversight of the school board. And parents expect then that in the school, their servants will, to a degree, administer discipline to their children. But the issues, and especially the big issues, must be brought to the Father. And when grandparents see that their grandchildren are simply getting away with way too much, and they're rather lawless, then grandfather and grandmother will pull aside the son, their son, their son-in-law, and share some wisdom. The rod is the father's, which he can and does exercise through his wife, the mother. Father's rod. Thirdly, the rod is the Father's instrument for the diligent correcting of His covenant child. Correcting of His covenant child. From a natural standpoint, the son, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, can either refer to a male child or simply a descendant, which could be a son or a daughter. However, from a spiritual point of view, in the book of Proverbs, the son is the son of believing parents, a covenant son, a covenant child. Chasteneth in the text means to correct. But he that loveth him chasteneth or correcteth him betimes. So that the rod is used for the correcting of a covenant child. Until they grow up and demonstrate otherwise, the children of believers are to be viewed and treated as the children of God, the children of the covenant, the heritage of the Lord. They are holy by virtue of their real saving membership in the covenant of grace. They are sanctified in Jesus Christ. They are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They do have the power unto obedience and a new and godly life. Nevertheless, they need correction. We recognize that their real covenant membership does not imply sinless moral perfection in them any more than it does in us. The children have a sinful nature. It will viciously assert itself. It will exert a tremendous influence upon them already in their youth as they despise to be ruled by someone or something outside of themselves. Children are sinners, as we are sinners. Proverbs 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child because of that inherent sinfulness that resides within them. They will disobey. All of them will. They will rebel. They will stray from the path. They will break the boundaries. A little child will hear his mother say, "No, no. Do not throw your cup." And perched in his high chair, the little child will take his sippy cup of milk and defiantly he will throw it to the ground. Children need correction, chastening. And God has ordained the rod, the paddle, as swiftly laid to the child's backside as the means for correction, the means to turn the child from disobedience to obedience in the subjugating of his defiant spirit. The rod is for the correcting of a covenant child. And because our children are the children of the covenant and we view and treat them that way, we correct them with gospel confidence that God will use the rod for the saving of our children. Fourth, and finally, in our identification of the rod, we say it is the Father's instrument for the diligent correcting of his covenant child. The diligent manner of discipline is noted in the text by its last word. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Betimes comes from a verb that means to rise up early, to rise up before dawn. And the word therefore basically means before the time. And it has come to mean diligently. If you get up before the time, if you go to work before the time, then you are very diligent. So to chasten a child betimes is to chasten a child diligently. And diligent has several, we will mention three manifestations. First, diligent correction with a rod is careful correction. Careful. Do not discipline a child for being a child. A child has a youthful spirit. He's adventurous. He's curious. He's easily distracted. He's very active. He's going to do things that we don't necessarily like or appreciate. He's a child. Do not discipline a child for being a child, but be careful to discipline a child for disobedience, which is intentional violation of clearly established rules. Be careful. Do not discipline a child in order to vent anger or frustration. Do not correct because you are exasperated. Do not discipline when you are out of control. Do not touch the rod or the child unless you are prepared to administer measured and controlled correction in love. Be careful. Do not discipline a child by laying the rod upon him in public to the humiliation of him before others. Be careful to administer the rod as discreetly as possible. Be careful. To be careful is to be consistent. Make the rules. Enforce the rules. We parents usually are not very good at that. We always have to be reminded, make the rules, enforce the rules. A lack of consistency tells the child that we don't really discipline because God commands it. We discipline only when it's convenient for us. Make the rules, enforce the rules so that the child's not confused and certainly so that the child's not able to weasel out of punishment for misconduct. Be careful. Secondly, diligent correction with the rod is done with words. The rod all by itself is a physical instrument that affects the body, and though it can deter a child from misconduct, it has no power to penetrate to the heart where the foolishness is bound up. So, diligent discipline requires the use of the rod with words. Proverbs 29 verse 15, the rod and reproof. A reproof is with words. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Accompanying the rod, therefore, especially as the young child is getting older and increasing in understanding, will be the father and mother's words explaining the offense, explaining with tender affection and hugs the parental love and care that was manifested in the use of the rod, explaining who God is and who we as parents are and how disobedience to us is disobedience unto God, explaining the need truly to be sorry in heart, and always explaining the altar of burnt offering, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which there is pardon and peace. Words. And all of those important concepts can be communicated to a child and then can be included in a brief prayer whereby the parent seeks to take the child's heart and unite it unto the fear of God. Words. Because the ultimate goal is not that a child turn from the path of disobedience, which ultimately ends in hell, but the goal is that the child be turned to God. Therefore, we use words that the Holy Spirit can take and direct the heart to God. Third, diligent correction with the rod is not only done carefully, not only done with words, but it is done early. And this is the primary emphasis of the word betimes, which has come to mean diligently, but which literally means early, to get up early, correct the child early in life. There's no established biblical rule for when a child is too old to receive the rod. A spanking. Though it is certainly true that a child reaches an age at which a spanking is no longer appropriate and it's no longer effective. Use the rod early when the child is young in age. We should not spank an infant who is not old enough to resist our directives. But we should not wait too long either. Satan goes to work betimes. The old man of sin goes to work betimes. Be diligent with the rod. Use it early in life. Correct the child early after the offense. Discipline is hard when we are in public and the child throws a temper tantrum in the middle of the grocery store. You're not going to take a rod out of your purse and spank the child in public. That would be foolish for various reasons. But if the rod is necessary, then we will use it at the earliest opportunity. Don't delay the correction, so that the connection between the offense and the rod is lost in the child's mind. Early, speedily, quickly, after the offense. But also correct the child early in development, so that bad habits are not formed, so that the unruly spirit is not allowed to dominate. Spank them in their tender years before they become hardened in and accustomed to disobedience. Spank them while they are yet tender shoots, branches that you can still take and bend and move and direct before they become hardy, knotty oak boughs that cannot be moved. Discipline early. Betimes, says God. So much wisdom goes into diligent correction, done carefully, done with words, and done early. Vitally important in the covenant home, then, is the rod. How do we identify it? It is the Father's instrument for the diligent correcting of His covenant child. If the proverb is driving home one main truth this morning, it is the truth that parental use of the rod is the demonstration of love. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. We love our children with the rod. That love of father and mother is magnified over against its antithesis, which is hatred. And the text explicitly speaks of this opposite of love, which is hatred, when it states in its opening phrase, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." Parental hatred for children is a despicable sin. And some parents demonstrate their hatred for their children by physically abusing them, either with sheer violence or with discipline. That becomes excessive, severe, and constitutes abuse. I will not describe physical abuse this morning and all of the horrible ways in which children can be harmed, but do understand that even spanking that is excessive is physical abuse. If anyone here physically abuses a child and does not sincerely repent, you will go to hell. And I am unfaithful if I do not issue that warning, that if anyone physically abuses a child, there are other ways to abuse a child. Here we're speaking of physical abuse, and does not repent, the Lord will take vengeance upon that one everlastingly. Matthew 18, verse 6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now, it's not too late to repent. There is a covering in the blood of Jesus Christ, but it's only known in the way of sincere repentance. Children are covenant children. They are the children of God. They are the heritage of the Lord. And even if they weren't covenant children, they are dignified human beings whom God originally created in His image. How will a father dare abuse a child, causing great physical pain and injury, terrifying the soul of the child, and creating hatred and resentment and discontentment that might never be abolished from the child's heart? A father could wake up every morning and say, "My son, I hate you." But there are actions that speak louder than words. And the action of a father taking his own hands into the terrifying of the soul of his child, physically hurting, damaging, abusing his child, that is a demonstration of hatred. There's a horror that fills the hearts of the godly at the thought of a poor child being abused. What wicked parental hatred. But there is another kind of parental hatred that, though it is not nearly as heinous in expression, is just as damaging in effect. The sparing of the rod. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." The text literally reads, "The withholder of his rod is a hater of his son, but the lover of him corrects him betimes." God could not word it more strongly. He who does not use the rod, God calls a child hater. That's strong. That does not necessarily mean that in his heart the man loathed his child and he's always looking for an opportunity to ruin his child. But it means that in his heart he does not have enough love to spank his child, and consequently he hates his child. The world says using the rod is child abuse. God says sparing the rod is child hatred. Leaving a child to his own natural tendencies without spanking him and letting him happily learn that he can rebel with impunity is letting the child go straight to hell. That's hatred. The father who observes disobedience in his child, or who is told by another of disobedience in his child, and he chuckles and laughs it off and says, "Oh, he's a little tyrant, isn't he? But he'll outgrow it." He hates his child. Now, there are certainly times when the word is sufficient and it's not necessary to use the rod. But the father who only ever responds to disobedience with words, only with words, whether in uncontrolled yelling or wholly correcting, rebuking, chiding, he hates his child according to God. The father who pretends he's wiser than God and says, "I will never spank my child. Spanking is so lowly. It's a mere physical act that affects the body. I'm interested in the heart. I'm going to reason with my child with words." The father who thinks he's smarter than God, he's wiser than the Almighty, he says, "If I spank my child, it will teach my child to hit other children, and that's bad." Or who says, "I've read the latest psychology reports that you can cause long-term damage to a child by spanking the child, so I will never spank my child." God says, "You hate your child." The father who's too busy with his work, too engrossed in his baseball game or his home project to care or act, he hates his child. The father whom others call a loving, gentle, tender father, the consummate father who spares the rod, God says, "Child hater." What a word. What an incredibly strong word from God. And such fathers are not only child haters, they're Israel haters, kingdom haters, church haters, covenant haters, because these children are the future of the church. He that, what does God say? "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." We love our children. We do. We love our children. And we demonstrate that with the use of the rod. Verse 24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Child lovers, use the rod. We love our children with the rod. Love always desires what is best for the other. Love desires what is best for the child. And what is best for the child is that the child live in obedience to God. It's that simple. What is best for the child is that the child live in obedience to God. What is best for the little fish is that he live in the water. What is best for the baby lizard is that he live in the desert. What is best for the little polar bear is that he live in the Arctic. What is best for the little human being is that he live in the sphere of obedience to God. For there, and only there, does one experience the blessing of God. In the sphere of disobedience is misery, and the end of it all is hell. That child is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet. We parents love our children as the holy children of God. And in love for them, we want them to walk in obedience, manfully fighting against and overcoming sin. That's the blessed life, even for a child. And in his wisdom, God has ordained and commanded the use of an instrument that he is pleased for to use for the turning of our children from disobedience to obedience. And it's the rod. It's not enough to speak to a defiant child. Proverbs 22 verse 15 does not say the words of reproof drive foolishness from a child, but it says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Love hears that, Love practices that. Because we love them, we do not spare the rod, but we use the rod carefully with words and early betimes. We chasten them betimes. Every parent, every father, every mother who loves his child for God's sake, who hates to see the child go astray in disobedience, who loves to see a little child walk in obedience, who loves the covenant, the kingdom, the church of God, the future of the church, spanks his child. Spanks her child. If the child hears and understands our direction, but in defiance ignores us or does the opposite of what was commanded, the child is disobedient and the little child needs to be spanked. Love always does it. Discipline is hard. It can be exasperating. It will test us to our wit's end. Discipline always seems to be inconvenient. Discipline is not pleasant. Taking a dear child and exposing that child's backside while he flails and laying upon his rear end a good lick or two so that he smarts and howls in pain, it's not pleasant. But love does it. Love is demonstrated with a rod. The Israelite boy knew his father and mother loved him by the spankings that he received when he was naughty. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Loving a child with a rod requires wisdom. The attitude of love and the right use of the rod, that all flows out of wisdom. Those who do not have wisdom, they do not love but hate. Those who do not have wisdom, they do not use but spare. We need wisdom. Proverbs is God's revelation of wisdom. And the required wisdom of which we now speak is not the small scale wisdom that we need for the day to day use of the rod in all of the specific situations of life. But it's the big, large scale wisdom that sees God and orients all of life unto and according to God. That's really wisdom. Wisdom is to orient your life according to, unto God. All of life, including the small scale daily occurrences of disobedience that need discipline. Wisdom is orienting all of life to God. We need wisdom to see God. And with wisdom, we can see God is the loving Father of the text. God is the He, and we are the disobedient sons. We are all as very disobedient children. God says, love your neighbor as yourself, and we say, I don't want to, she's a snot. And he's so full of himself, how could I love him? God says, you love me with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we say within ourselves, no, that's not fun. I'd rather love the world. God says it over and over and over again. Love me. Love your neighbor as yourself. We tune him out. We act like he's not even present, like he's not even speaking. We come to church. God says, love me. We tune him out. God says, trust in me. I am your heavenly Father. We don't. We get all paranoid and all frantic. We lose sleep as if God's not great enough to provide our every need. Trust me. Fear not. He says it over and over and over again. Do not fear. Trust me. And our little children, we don't obey him. We talk back to him. We excuse ourselves. We say, but I could have obeyed if this, But this one led me astray. We have all kinds of excuses for God. God prepares a feast of spiritual blessings, bountiful blessings in Jesus Christ. He lays it out before us in His church and the worship service. And we pick it apart and pull up our nose at it and say, this again, this again. He tells us to spank our children. And sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't, because we think we're smarter than He is. And spanking doesn't work. We have a better way. We're all disobedient children. We all need correction. We all need discipline. But we've not sinned against earthly parents. We've sinned against the Most High God. And everyone here deserves to go to hell. We're all disobedient. All we like sheep have gone astray. You know what God has done? God, our God. God has taken His righteous rod of destruction with which He will destroy the reprobate everlastingly in hell, and which He could justly use to smite every one of us here unto everlasting death. He took the rod of destruction and He smote His perfectly obedient, perfectly submissive, perfectly righteous Son, Jesus Christ, who was perfectly righteous even as a boy. He took that rod of destruction and He smote Him on the cross for us. He did not spare His rod of destruction in hatred for us, but in love, in unfathomably deep, eternal, electing love, He struck His only begotten Son betimes for us, for our sins, for our disobedience. Now, He has a rod of chastening, not a rod of destruction. Our Father has a rod of chastening, and He lovingly uses it on us. For Jesus' sake, God does not allow us to go our own way. If we do, for a time, then He corrects us in love. When we refuse to confess our sins before Him, as David did, He takes His heavy hand and He lays it hard upon us. And He troubles us and afflicts us in our conscience, bringing us to the necessary repentance. When we go backsliding away from our calling and say, no, I will not go preach in Nineveh, then God follows hard after us. And with His loving, disciplining hands, He takes the boat and He shakes it to and fro in the waves of the sea, which He has created to turn us again to the right way of obedience. He sends all kinds of hardships, difficulties, struggles, troubles in life of every kind, not necessarily for specific sins, but because we all need correction. In love, He uses His rod of correction and He disciplines us all the way to glory, taking us out of the miserable way of disobedience and bringing us again and again into the wonderful and blessed way of obedience. God does that. He's Jehovah, God of love. Now you want to shudder. You think of a father who abuses his child and you shudder. But you really want to shudder? Think of God, a Father who left us alone who would leave us to our own devices, who would never spank us with hardship, who would never correct us with affliction, who simply let us go our own way, which way would end in hell. That ought to cause one to shudder. That God that spareth His rod hateth His Son, and He is no God. But our God loveth us, and He chasteneth us betimes. Hebrews 12, verses 6 and 7, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We need wisdom to see the big picture of our God, who He is, and how He loves us through the chastening rod, even as we sang already in the Psalter. And then in obedience, we imitate Him. We love our children with the rod as God loves us with His rod. That wisdom no man has by nature. That's the wisdom of Jesus Christ. He graciously earned it on the cross. And now by His Holy Spirit, He applies it to our hearts so that we can have wisdom. We can see God for who He is as our God. With the wisdom of God Himself, we will repent of all of our parental sins, our shortcomings, our failures, and we will all find blood that covers every single one of these sins, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Wisdom does that. With the wisdom of God, we love our children, and we demonstrate that love by chastening them betimes as God commands. And in wisdom, we expect the blessing of God as He graciously continues His everlasting covenant with us and our children as those who love and fear Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Thy promise to us is that Thou art a faithful God who will continue Thy covenant. Do that through our use of the rod. Here again, we see Thy wisdom and how Thou dost use the foolish things, the lowly things of this earth, a simple rod. And yet, what great purposes Thou dost accomplish with a simple rod, driving foolishness out of the heart of a child. We stand in awe of Thy wisdom and Thy goodness to all of us in not allowing us to go our own way, but following hard after us and restoring us again and again and again. We experience that every week. What a faithful God who loves us. We praise Thee and thank Thee and cause us to reflect Thee in our parenting. We may be faithful to our children and love them in every way, including the way revealed to us in the text. Bless our children. Bless this congregation. Bless our homes. For Jesus' sake. Amen.